Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Front End Planning Guru podcast. Today, we have an exciting interview with you. My name's Ed Gibson. I'm going to be our guru here today. I've been involved with industry for 40 years and 30 years of research on front end planning. And joining me today is Dr. Mike Pappas. Dr. Pappas is an associate director for deployment at the Construction Industry Institute. He has more than 30 years of capital project management experience, including 10 years of progressively responsible field experience, managing both domestic and international construction projects. I'm going to lead the conversation, but most of the talking here today is with Mike. For full disclosure, Mike and I have known each other for, about 20 years. And Mike was a grad student at University of Texas, and he and I have done some a little research project for the National Academies at one point, and we've published a few things together. So Mike, good to have us with you today. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your work and experience?
Hi, Ed. Thanks for the opportunity to join you today. I'm a civil engineer by education and a project manager by experience. I got my bachelor's degree at the University of Missouri-Rolla, now known as the Missouri University of Science and Technology, which is a great place to go to school. I was a U.S. Navy Civil Engineer Corps officer for 8 years, managing projects for the Navy and Marine Corps at Cherry Point, North Carolina, Iwakuni, Japan, and with Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 7. Then I went to grad school at the University of Texas at Austin. I worked a couple of years for the Farnsworth Group, an architect engineering firm in Illinois, before returning to Austin for another degree. I was a self-employed consultant based in Austin for 15 years, teaching professional development courses and helping project teams solve problems and deliver their projects. And for the past 4 years, I've been an associate director at CII.
Great. And, you know, so our audience base is very diverse, but what they all have in common is an interest in the front-end planning process. And your experience with it, both working in the field and also, you know, doing consulting and at CII, surely brings a lot of value to our table. So what I'd like for you to do is maybe share the top three or four pieces of advice you would give to our audience concerning this front-end planning process.
Sure. The first thing is to make sure everybody's clear about the goals and priorities of the project. Now, that might sound simple, but because there are so many parties involved, even inside the owner's organization, it's not a simple thing to say, these are the owner's goals and priorities, much less when you get the contractors and the larger project team involved. But having these clear is the foundation of everything that comes afterwards. For instance, does this project need to be cost-driven or schedule-driven in order to maximize the business case? That decision impacts decisions about the scope, the execution plan, the contract strategy, how much work will be done on-site versus off-site, modularization, and those types of things. I encourage people to ask people on the project what their priorities are. And if you hear different answers, that's a critical issue that needs to be addressed. Second is to remember that front-end planning is about balancing doing as much as necessary with doing as little as possible. Now, that might sound weird to people, but it's true. And what do I mean by that? We've all been involved with projects that weren't planned well, and we suffered through the results. All of the data from CII, IPA, and others points to the need to do as much as necessary to make sure we have an appropriately thorough plan before we start executing. But we need to remember that our project lives inside of a business environment in which time is money. So we need to be thorough, but we can't afford to do more than is necessary. So how do you balance doing as much as necessary and as little as possible? One way is by using tools like the PDRI and the FEL index to indicate when your planning is thorough enough to make the decision you need to make. Another way is by using a decision-driven process. This may be a little challenging to explain without a visual, but I'll try. Say we're an owner and we're working toward the final investment decision stage gate. Start at the back of the process, the right side of the paper, if you will, and write final investment decision. Then just in front of that, write down the information we need to make that decision. We need a schedule with a certain level of detail. We need a cost estimate with a certain level of accuracy, etc. Great. Now, what information do we need to create that schedule and that cost estimate? write that down to the left of the schedule in the estimate. We need a scope and an execution plan defined to a certain level of detail. We need a realistic view of our risks. We need to understand the market that we're going to purchase from, et cetera. Then build out one of those areas. Let's just say scope definition as an example. What information do we need to get that degree of scope definition to support the estimate and schedule we need? What decisions need to be made about the scope? What information do we need to make those decisions? And so on. So what we're doing is we're building our front-end plan backwards by only including the decisions we need to make and the information we need to support that final stage gate decision. Are there other things we could do during front-end planning? Sure. But if it doesn't support that next stage gate decision, it doesn't need to be in the plan for this phase. That's how you keep the plan lean. The third thing is to remember that the project manager's role is to provide the best information possible to the decision maker. Sometimes the project manager's role becomes get the project through the stage gate, but that's dangerous. You can see how that could lead to problems such as unrealistically optimistic schedules, costs, maybe the risk picture isn't as complete as it really needs to be. If the project manager is doing things to try to get the project approved, that's a dangerous situation. The job is to provide the best information possible to the decision maker because we have to be able to meet those commitments. The fourth thing is to make the most of the conversations between the project and the business. When we talk about stage gates, that's all a stage gate really is: the project and business getting together, deciding whether or not to continue the project. Part of that is a project decision. For instance, did the project team do the right things to the appropriate level of detail during this phase? But part of it is a business decision. The project team may have done everything correctly, but the project might get canceled because it's no longer the most attractive investment for the business. And that's okay. That's what needs to happen. It's painful for the project team, but it's the best decision for the company. So use those conversations between the project and the business to make sure both teams are seeing the opportunity in the same way. And if something comes up that is significant in between stage gates, it's perfectly okay to get the business and project together to look at that issue, get some clarity, and then move on. Up front in the project, use the conversation with the business to customize the front-end planning process to the specific needs of the project. Too frequently, I've seen projects that skip steps in front-end or skip decision gates because the project's in a hurry and we're concerned that front-end planning will take too long. But that's dangerous to skip steps. You wind up with real holes in your planning that way. Discuss the situation with the business to agree what's really required in this situation. And once you agree on that, then move forward with that plan. Skipping steps in the front end because we're in a hurry almost always comes back to bite us. So to summarize, make sure you have clear goals and priorities. Use tools and a decision-driven process to balance doing as much as necessary and as little as possible in the front end. Make sure the project manager is providing the best information possible to the decision maker rather than doing whatever needs to get done to get the project through the stage gate. And make the most of the conversations between the project and the business to set expectations and tailor the process to the specific needs of the project. Don't simply skip steps of the front-end planning process because you're in a hurry.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. That's great advice and very much in line with a lot of the research that we've done over the years in terms of what's important, what is not in the front-end planning process. I really like the idea that this is a combination of a business process and a project process. It's where the interface between those happens, and you have to understand how to scale this process to the right level. As you said, skipping steps always causes problems with you. I like the idea of building backwards. It was a really nice word picture that you drew for us there. I mean, you know, as Stephen Covey said, you begin with the end in mind.
Right.
Way back. And I think that's really where we want to do. And obviously, at this phase of the project, if you're a project manager, then it's important to understand that maybe the best decision we can make for the business is to cancel the project. And many times we move forward with projects that we regret. I think every company I've ever worked with has had some of those projects in their closet, the skeletons that they would rather not talk about. So that's pretty neat. You mentioned the stage gate process briefly. There's a lot of people that feel like the stage gate process is ponderous. It doesn't add value, and they want to go to this thing called agile planning. I think there's a lot of confusion of the word agile planning and agility. My perspective is you should have agility in the front end plan. And you mentioned some of that, right? Something changes, we shift and move on, but we really haven't seen any other process that really helps like the stage gauge process. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've read some articles talking about trying to use agile thinking or the agile process in construction, and how, you know, capital facilities are such a different beast than software that the agile process doesn't really apply. But I absolutely agree that we need to have as much agility and flexibility in our process as we can. You mentioned that the process can be ponderous, and I've seen that, but I don't blame the process for that. I mean, when you boil it down, the front end planning process is a series of 3, 4, or 5 questions. You know, does this look feasible? Have we picked the right concept? Are we ready for execution, you know, et cetera. And where the process becomes ponderous in my experience is companies start to take that decision gate and then, okay, 30 days in front of the decision gate, you have to have all of these additional reviews finished, and then you have to schedule those and so on and so forth. So I have seen situations where the last 6 months of a phase seems to be getting ready for the stage gate. But that's the fault of the company. That's not the fault of the process. So I do think that, you know, it's on companies to lean that down as much as appropriate. Obviously, they have delegation of authority and they're making multi-million and billion-dollar decisions. So, you know, that needs to be thorough and lean as well. The stage gate process is a business risk process, really, because that's how the business parcels out money to develop projects that may or may not get built. And the fact is, that's the best thing we have so far. Now, will it be that way forever? Probably not. But nobody's done research yet to come up with a better system.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think, you know, the agile method for software development has shown some promise in the software development area, and certainly in front-end planning, there could be opportunities to employ parts of that process, especially with technology development and software development that occurs within that process. It's just the fact of the matter is, though, because of the sums of money involved, the commitments that need to be made, and so on and so forth, it's just really difficult to do that kind of a process across the board. And I think the stage gate process, as you've mentioned, it's been proven over and over again, and it's evolved over 50 or 60 years. I've never seen data that showed that it wasn't the right process. It can be abused just like any other thing. And I think that's really where it sometimes gets a bad name. So, and obviously it needs to be tailored to the size, complexity, business drivers, and everything else of the project. So anyway, anything else you want to share with us, Mike? It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah. Well, one thing is, if a project needs to be recycled at a stage gate, go ahead and recycle it. And what I mean by that is, if more information is needed to make a well-informed decision and pass the stage gate, the project remains in its current phase until more work is done so that decision can be made. This isn't necessarily the project team's fault. Of course, if the planning work hasn't been done thoroughly enough, that is the project team's responsibility. But sometimes we need more information to make the decision because of the business environment. We want the right projects to pass stage gates, and time is money, but sometimes we'll pass the project with conditions. Now think of a punch list. In construction, at the final inspection, you almost always have some punch list items that need to be finished in order to complete the project. But if there are significant issues, or if the punch list starts getting into hundreds of items, it's no longer a punch list. You weren't really ready for the final inspection yet. I look at stage gates the same way. You can pass a gate with a few minor conditions, and that's okay. But if there are significant issues or lots of conditions, then you're really not ready to pass the stage gate. People get afraid of recycling because it looks like a failure, but we already talked about that. People are also afraid of recycling because they're afraid it'll take too long, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a long process in terms of time. You know what the discrepancies are, you focus on fixing those, and then you repeat the stage gate review. Now think about what those discrepancies represent. They represent work that needs to be done but isn't done yet. So if you pass the project with conditions, those things probably need to be taken care of immediately in the following phase in order to open up subsequent work that's supposed to be done. When you pass a project with conditions, it's easy for the team to get excited, push ahead with the work of the new phase before taking care of those discrepancies. So you wind up carrying that deficiency further. If you're doing things correctly, you're doing those discrepancies first in either case, but recycling through the stage gate provides everybody the certainty that those discrepancies have really been addressed at the right time. And you mentioned agility. I have seen some clever ideas that put agility into the mix, especially in the LNG field. Instead of building full-size LNG trains that are 3.2 million tons per annum, Black & Veatch, I know, has one, and some others have some technologies to build like 1 million TPA units. And so there's one particular project that I'm thinking of that was going to build, instead of 7 full-size trains, they're going to build 20 of these small units. And when they authorize the project, obviously the design is the same for all 20 units. They authorize construction for the first 4. So that as time goes on, now we're closer to the future, so to speak, the business has a better picture of what demand is, and the business can make decisions about, okay, do we need to, you know, build 4 more of these or whatever. So they're not authorizing the project all as one huge project. They're authorizing it in phases, and that kind of thing can add some agility for the business.
Super. Great example. And, you know, to make those decisions, you need to make those decisions in the front end planning process. Yeah, you can't make those decisions in the design process. I really like the idea that, you know, I think it's always better to recycle at a gate rather than pass it through unless they're just minor issues, because many times people then forget about those major issues and we get stuck in the design process trying to figure out how to do this. And eventually that leads to scope changes and sometimes even in the construction phase. So that's a great piece of advice. So thank you, Mike, for joining us today and providing some great insight. And thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. And we'll be back with you with more content soon. Goodbye.